Before we start this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including the Stitcher Radio app for your mobile device, iTunes, our website air-raid.net, and of course at www.cairoradio.com. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 227 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks, we've got a veritable payload of awesome for your ears this week. Merry Christmas, by the way. Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and every other holiday that is happening during this season. We hope that you, straight from the heart, dear people. We hope everyone here at the Air Raid Podcast hopes that you have a safe and sane holiday season, man. Yeah, or lady. That's right. Gotta keep it equal. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Like I said, very funny man. You may remember him from his time on Saturday Night Live, or maybe that little movie called Half-Baked. Yeah, that's right. Jim Brewer going to be joining us here in the episode. Of course, you know that. Like you don't know who's going to be on the show, right? You read the headline of the show. It's just the person's name. That's who's going to be here. That's right. Yeah, it's a great episode. This one originally aired back in September 22nd, 2013. And since all of the stuff with the holidays is going on, you know, we decided, you know, why not play something from the archives, something that that I really enjoyed, a conversation that was fantastic. And it was such an honor to get to talk with Jim. And he had a good time, too. So we have a good chat, you know. It spans the whole range of topics that we like to hit upon here in this episode, including religion and comedy, right? Yeah, and maybe some music, too. Yeah, we'll be talking about all that stuff. Like I said earlier, this is, the holiday season is now in full swing, folks. Went to two holiday parties yesterday, two wonderful holiday parties, and then today we watched the Seahawks just totally spank Arizona. And I got to say, man, if the holidays don't kill me, then the Seahawks winning season will. And let me tell you why. I am eating so much at these holiday and Seahawks gatherings. Mostly the Seahawks gatherings, because that's been going on for a little while now, right? Yeah. And I can't stop myself. I've got no willpower. I know I've talked to you about this before, but I've got no willpower. I can't stop. I can't stop eating. All the, like, the chips, the salsa, the bean dip, man, the cheese dip, the cheese whiz, the meat plate. Can't stop eating any of it. Macaroni and cheese. We had macaroni and cheese tonight. It was fantastic. And I couldn't help it, and I ate too much, and now I just feel awful. And, yeah, quitting smoking, man, is going to be the death of me. I've got no willpower, folks. It just, I mean, my addictions just swing from one branch to the next, seriously. As if I give something, one thing up, then I just go to the next thing, right? And it's just a long line until I actually die. And then that's it. And then it's over. That's it, man. Yeah. It's a sad beginning to the holiday season here at Air Raid, let me tell you. Speaking of sadness, let's see. I'm on one of the most recent episodes of this podcast, this excellent show called Man School, based out of L.A. with Caleb Bacon, who was a writer for this show called Sullivan and Sons, which you might know. He's a great dude. And on this show called Man School that he does, he likes to have people come on and kind of, you know, give life lessons. And so I was on there recently talking about my brother's condition, which is called chronic granulomatous disease, and my experience growing up kind of in the shadow of a terminally ill brother. And I would urge you guys to listen to it. We get into, man, it was a tough conversation at some points. A tough conversation. You know, I got a little choked up, got a little sentimental, I got a little teary-eyed, not going to lie. And it goes a little deep, man. And, you know, I listened back to the show, Man School, which you can find just by going to the Sideshow Network, or I believe it's on Podcast One, the Podcast One Network as well. I delve a little deep into my own psyche on that show and brought some stuff up that, you know, I don't know if I really wanted to talk about. Like, if I could do it again, I don't know if I'd bring some of the stuff up. Deals with depression, deals with my battle with schizophrenia. And you know, boy, I immediately after that thing aired, I was like, oh, shit. Oh, shit, now people know. You know what I'm saying? You ever done that before? You ever, open your mouth? Maybe you got a little, couple whiskeys down, and you open your mouth, you start telling all of your dirty secrets, and then people know about it. This is a extreme case, right? A lot of people listen to that show, a lot of people listen to this show, and people know about it now. We got a lot of great feedback from it. Got a lot of emails from friends who listened to the show, who listened to that program in particular, and a lot of good feedback. But still some stuff maybe that I didn't want people to know about. But you know what? I mean, it's all about being open, right? And an episode that we did here at the Air Raid Podcast really got me thinking about it. The episode with Joe Guppy. And his book, talking about his book called My Fluorescent God, and it really opened some stuff up in me, man. And got a lot of feedback on that one, too, because I did talk a little bit about, my history with depression and mental illness. I just find it, you know what, after reading that book and talking with Joe, I'm finding it a lot easier to talk about that stuff. So I guess it's okay. I guess I'm talking myself out of feeling bad about it right here, right now, in this Christmas season, this holiday season. So I hope you guys enjoy that too. Check it out. Man School, the Man School show with Caleb Bacon. Great stuff. It's on iTunes and Stitcher and anywhere else that you can find podcasts. So check that out. Let us know what you think. Let me know if you think I shared too much. How about that? Yeah, I get those emails sometimes. Yeah, you can email me at Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at air-raid.net. And if you go to our brand new website, you can find the email there. You can find our Twitter there and our Facebook and the links that go to those places. And also, you can find all of our past episodes. Remember, by clicking on the Archives tab, you can find such great stuff. I mean, we've got 220 episodes of this year program, guys. And in the Archives tab, you can find, what about number 141 with Telekinesis? That was a great show, man. How about episode 159 with Aisha Tyler? Or episode 76 with Dana Gould? Man, that was a time. Episode 128 with Jesse Thorne. How about Chris Walla in episode 172 of Death Cab for Cutie? Yeah, that's right. Death Cab for Cutie with Chris Walla, man. And what about this one? Episode 186 with Emily Noakes of Taco Cat. That was one of my favorites, man, of this year. Great, great conversation with her, too. Next week, we're going to be going over our top five songs and shows, or not songs, but albums and shows that we went to, along with Marco Collins, DJ Marco Collins, and Kate Becker of the Seattle Office of Film and Music, and also Michael Compton from the Northwest Chapter of the Grammys is going to be here as well, and we're going to be going over our favorites of 2014, so don't miss out on that, okay? So let's get into it, shall we? Oh, you know what? Before we do that, old friend of the show, Thomas Bridgman, very funny comedian who started here in Seattle and now lives down in San Francisco. He's got he's doing this thing called Tales from the Swan Hotel, which is going to be out December 29th. This is let's see, it's a podcast and it's available on iTunes. Tales from the Swan Hotel, and it's like an anthology noir series. Where the cast of every episode is made up entirely of San Francisco and LA comics, and I would urge you guys to check this out. I haven't listened to it yet. Of course, the episode with Thomas isn't up until December 29th, so that's why. But if he's involved in something, it's going to be funny, man, and it's going to be good. So, Tales from the Swan Hotel, check that out with our good friend Thomas Bridgman. Who was on the show a little while ago. Maybe that was earlier this year. I can't remember. There's been a lot of shows, guys. Just go to the archives tab. You can find that out, right? Yeah. Yeah, do that. All right. Hey, let's get into it, shall we? We're going to be featuring music today from the band Pavement, because why not, man? One of my favorite bands of all time. This song is called Stereo, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guests this week, Jim Brewer. Yeah, that's right. That Jim Brewer. All right, stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Pigs, they tend to wiggle when they walk. The infrastructure rots, and the owners hate the jocks with their agents and their dates. If the signature's a check,
you'll just have to wait.
And we're counting up the instants that we save. Tired nation, so depraved. From the cheap seats, see us wave to the camera. It took a giant ramrod to raise the demon settlement. But hi-ho, silver ride. Hi-ho, silver ride. Take another ride to see me. Oh, listen to me. I'm on the stereo. Stereo. Oh, my baby, 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 baby. Get me my stereo. Stereo. Voice of Geddy Lee, how did it get so high? I wonder if he speaks like an ordinary guy.
I know him, and he does.
And you're my fact-checking cub. We'll focus on the quasar in the mist. The Kaiser has a cyst, and I'm a blank one. List the qualms you have, and if they stick, they will drown you in a creek, in the neck of a woods that was populated by Tired Nation on the fly. Everybody knows advice that was given up for free. Lots of details to discern, lots of details, but hi-ho, silver.
All right, Jim Brewer joining me on the line. How are you doing, sir?
Doing really good. I'm excited about this year. I got a lot of cool little things frying in the pan.
Do you really?
I do. I got some onions. I got some nice garlic sauteed. I got a special that I'm excited about. It comes out in November, and I got a sneaky little project that it'll start popping out in November also, and I'm going to start doing some programming on my own website, which is...
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, that's the wave of the future right there. Just making your own stuff and putting it out there, and if people like it, you can tell.
Well, that's a daunting task, sir.
Well,
doing your own website stuff.
Well, it's in the eye of the beholder, whoever's really doing it. It's not... You know, when your kids are watching an orange being annoying and it's got 50 million views, it's less daunting than you imagine to people like me.
How old are your kids, man?
14, 11, and 8.
Oh my God. I've got a 2.5-year-old daughter right now, and I don't know what I'm gonna do when she starts getting into kind of pop culture stuff.
Well, you better start putting on a seatbelt, because in another 2 years or so, it's all Disney and Top 40 nonsense. That's your life.
Are you a music fan, Jim?
I am a music fan, but I'm a classic rock, hard rock, 80s metal guy.
Okay, so is that where all the Judas Priest impersonations come from?
Yes, Priest and Maiden and Metallica and AC/DC and old Van Halen. That's my fine wine.
Right. So does it kill you that your kids are listening to probably people like Miley Cyrus?
No, no, not at all. I mean, is it annoying after a while? Yeah. It's like, I like Taylor Swift. You know why I like Taylor Swift?
What?
She's actually a musician.
Yeah,
So I can respect that. She's not backed by robots and electronics and all that. And, hey, there's something to be said for that. It's a multi-billion-dollar business. But the kids, you know, I'm trying to, like, listen to War Pigs. Listen to what he's saying. They don't care what he's saying.
No, man, they don't give one flying shit about your style of music.
No, they really don't. And there's a lot of flying of it around too.
That's for sure. I'm on the track right now. We do this show and we have a lot of like musicians on and everything. And so I try to just introduce my daughter at the age of 2.5 years old to just everything that comes through the Air Raid podcast pipes here. So like,
oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And she likes it for the most part, you know, but like, I figure somewhere down the line, she's going to turn on Britney Spears or somebody like that here in the future and then just be gone.
Britney will be long gone by the time she's locked and loaded, ready for entertainment.
Well, that's true.
There's going to be a whole different shebigo lined up, ready to be thrown at her.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. There's going to be new, some new, you know, tween pop star that's just going to take my daughter away and you know, make her want to wear, like, mini skirts to elementary school.
It's kind of a genius marketing scam. It all comes down to professional wrestling. Politics, pop culture.
Yeah.
It's all the same. It's like, all right, here's the popular teen kid. Okay, now here's the deal. When you turn 18, shave your head and wear tight clothing. We need some cleavage. Okay, you're the gonna be a dirty birdie for the next 4 years. Okay,
right.
You're gonna show your boobs on some MTV event. Okay, you found yourself. That'll get us the next 5 years. Okay, next. So it's professional wrestling. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. Every tween bopper is The Rock.
Exactly. Wow. You showed your rear end in public. You're a movie star. How about that? Oh, good. You did steroids. You're a box office drawer.
Yeah. There you go, man. There you go. You've got it all figured out. You've been in this business for a while now.
Yeah. And I'm the jackass trying to be a good guy.
So let's talk about your history here, Jim. I'm always very curious about how people got their start, and what the impetus was to people getting into the entertainment biz, because it is a really difficult business to get into, and I think a lot of people are interested in that. So what was the impetus, for lack of a better term, for you getting into stand-up comedy? What drew you into this?
Steve Martin, Let's Get Small.
That was it, huh?
I was about 10 years old, and my brother-in-law said, listen to this album. That's already dating it, album.
Yeah.
And the first time I heard a comedian, rather than a band, on an album.
Yeah, yeah.
that and hearing them laugh. And back then, I guess Steve Martin was going for the complete stoner, which stoner material often appeals to children. I just remember being 10 years old thinking this is the greatest thing ever. And then I bought his next album, which was Wild and Crazy Guy. And then I just fell in love with stand-up comedy. I saw Richard Pryor live on HBO. Then I saw George Carlin, Louis Anderson, and Eddie Murphy, and Sam Kinison. And that was that I fell in love with, and I wanted to be part of it from the minute I listened to it. To me, that was the greatest thing in the world.
So you went down, you basically went down the comedy rabbit hole there.
Absolutely. And then even before that, I'd watch, every Sunday, I'd watch Lauren Hardy, which was on, they were on like every Sunday. And so I was always kind of a comedy junkie since I was a child.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to be a stand-up comedian right in high school. Sixth grade, I was already thinking about it. High school, I got on stage for the first time. And it was at a rock club, and I did. Whoa. I played the rock club a couple times, and then that was it. My mom tried to steer me away, but I finally, at 19, I think I was 20 years old, and I said, I'm sorry, but this is it. I know you're worried about money and this and that, but I'm going for it, and this is the only thing I'm ever going to do.
Was it your brother or a friend that introduced you to the Steve Martin album?
Brother-in-law.
Oh, brother-in-law. Okay, so you've got some. You had some older siblings then, huh?
Much, much older.
Yeah,
I'm definitely the accident child by like 14 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah, my parents are not. When I wheel my father around with his World War II hat,
yeah,
90. He's like, "Oh, your grandfather is so." I said, "No, no, no. It's my father."
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. So were you like a big family then? A big Catholic family or something?
No, God, not even close. It's one big ball of dysfunctionality. It's the World War II. I'm technically a boomer baby.
Okay, okay.
I'm a baby boom accident.
And where did you originally grow up?
Where did I what?
Where did you originally grow up?
I grew up in Long Island.
Oh,
I grew
okay.
up on the same street pretty much my whole life up until I was 19 years old. We were like Little Rascals meets Goodfellas, but without the killing.
And less murder.
It was less murder. I never left the street. I never needed to leave the street. We had everything. We had girls, boys, we all grew up on this one dead-end street, and it was the best childhood I ever had in my whole life.
Yeah.
It really was. As a matter of fact, I grew up, once I had kids, I tell my kids, my father used to tell me, I just wish you would have more than I ever had. I tell my kids, I just wish you had a quarter of what I had, because what I had just kicked ass.
Right. Do you think that is something that is just nostalgia, or do you think it's actually disappearing? Like I remember my childhood. I grew up in a very small town here in Washington, and I remember my childhood being phenomenal because we could walk anywhere, you know, we could be out by ourselves even as kids and not have to worry about anything. Go explore the woods, you know, and go explore like abandoned houses and things like that. Like, my daughter is not going to experience that here in Seattle, but she's going to experience other things, though, right?
Yeah, you know, they're kind of in a different world, man. They're heading towards the Star Wars world. I mean...
Well, let's hope so.
The more and more I watch that, the more I realize Lucas was really laughing hard, going, they have no clue that I'm actually showing them what's on the way. I think he got to smoke a big fatty with some government official, and they were like, listen, you can write it, but you got to make the character so far out there that they think this is just crazy.
Right,
okay.
Right, yeah, 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 because they already have, I mean, the CIA already has lightsabers, and that's a fact.
Well, when I moved down to Florida, right?
Uh-huh.
I moved to Florida in the 80s, and I'll never forget, in Disney World there, they have the, in Epcot Center, they have, it looks like the big golf ball, they call it like the future, Tomorrowland, or whatever it's called.
Right, right.
And you get in that thing, and you go through the future. Well, in the late 80s, I remember going through that thing, and they were saying, in the future, there will be things called computers that you can talk to your family from traveling anywhere. And they would show people FaceTiming. And they would show you talking on your phone, well, the phones we have today, using them like computer. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And I think it was about 5-6 years ago when they had to update that, because it's here. It's
right,
there
right.
And beyond. And I always said, now, they didn't just predict that. Somebody already knew that existed. And I always say we get government's leftover 25, 30-year-old toys. Everything we got now is probably about 30 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's totally true. And like, let's see. Oh, shit. I forgot what I was going to say. You said something about like FaceTime and stuff like that. It's definitely true. Like, you know, everything in Star Trek, besides, you know, the interplanetary travel and you know, sending people from place to place. What's that? What's the thing?
I don't know, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, everything's come true.
I don't know how far off that is, if it exists, but that I want to be around to at least witness that one.
Yeah. Or it'll be like, it'll end up like Spaceballs, where you try to use it, and then you just end up with your head on backwards or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You accidentally just warp into a lion cage. This is not what I... This is an accident. I need to go, whoa, this is it.
If this turns into a bit, Jim, I want credit.
All right, that sounds good.
So I've been watching a lot of your comedy lately, once I found out that you were coming here to Seattle. And I've been noticing that you do a lot of stuff about your kids, you do a lot of stuff about marriage, and you also drop a God in there quite a bit. Are you a religious man?
Not religious whatsoever. I've never read the Bible.
Yeah.
I'm not part of any secular religious thing. Do I believe we're driven by some? Yeah. I would call it a moral faith grounding.
Okay. So you're like an agnostic.
Yeah, whatever that is. Define that for me.
Well, okay, so I think, like, atheist, you know, is somebody who doesn't believe in anything. Like, there's nothing driving us. There's no higher being. There's no higher calling, anything like that. It's just everybody.
I don't believe that at all.
Yeah,
There's way too many things that have my life that are not coincidental. It just makes no sense.
Right,
There's got to be intense, freaking, I don't know what it is. That, you know, at the end of the day, nobody knows what it is.
No,
but
exactly. Yeah.
I have to believe there is a purpose, and I have to believe that there is, when I sit down and pray, someone's listening, because I've had answers too many times. Some people call it praying, some people call it meditating, some people call it what you will, but do I believe in like an organized thing and that Noah's Ark exists and all that? I have a hard time believing that. I have a really hard time chomping on that. Do I think it's good for people? Yeah, if it guides them in the right way and they become better people and all that jazz. But, you know, overall, I think people who, quote, hate religion or the ones who don't believe, they're really just mad at religion. Because at the end of the day, the ones that are glamorized are the ones of the thieves, and the ones that have that tricked people, and that double crossed, and you know, of course, they're put on the highest freaking medium, like, I told you.
Yeah.
It's like, well, don't blame a faith or a God. Blame the douchebag who took advantage of everyone.
Yeah, totally. I would be in total agreement with you. I would consider myself an agnostic, I think. Like, so agnostic is like you don't know what's out there, but you believe in that there's something, like what you just, basically what you just said.
Yeah, and you know, it's been a little bit of a, it's interesting because my wife is Christian.
Okay.
She'll tell you, I'm Christian.
And she's practicing, and, like, does she go to church and
oh, yeah.
Things like that?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go with her.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I do a lot of my writing. But when I'm writing, I find my... And I don't mean that in a mean way. And
right. No, I know what you mean.
What I find myself doing, going, man, and I've told her this for almost 20 years. I don't want to call it a preacher, but if I went on stage, I'd have some following because most of those guys refer to a biblical sense and all that jazz, where I think today you need somebody who can talk in a moral grounding and a faith-based thing, but on things people can relate to and really... really put some passion into it, rather than if we turn our books to David, and he said, blah, blah. I mean, you know, she's listening to music and then they stop and it's silent. I'm like, what is this? We need a, I would literally kick rump as a preacher, man.
I think you do pretty well, man. Maybe you should, look into televangelism.
Yeah, see, like, that word scares me. That just reminds me of, like, someone... That's pure evil right there.
Oh, yeah, totally. That was
you know
really...
What it is, too?
Go for it, yeah.
If I were to do it, and if I honestly wanted to help people... Because my struggle, too, is this. If you... I get the church thing and all that, but at the end of the day, it's, and I guess you could do this with any gift. It's like you're asking for money by the time it's over. It's like, yeah, you know what? We could have gathered in my yard for this. I mean, do we need a, I don't know. I struggle with the whole, our budget's only here. We really need to make more X, Y, Z. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, I get they got to make a living, but...
Yeah.
I struggle with all that.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, my dad raised me. Like, he would turn on, and I've told this story many times on this show, is like, he would turn on the TV on a Sunday, right? And he would turn it to Jimmy Swaggart. And he would point this guy out, and he'd say, "See, Aaron, this guy is a fucking liar." And that's what he would say. He would say... Every single time. Like, he and it happened, like, I remember, like, certain instances, like, this happened, like, over a course of, like, 10 years of my life, where it was happening, you know, once a week.
Yeah,
he
my
really...
father. Well, my father would, you know, my mother would have, my mom would always have a pastor. Come
okay.
over the house.
Yeah.
And the pastor would come over, and my father would go in the other room. And right before the guy would come over, my mom would be like, "Ken, aren't you going to sit in?" And he would make the jerk-off motion with his hand. And he'd go, "That asshole just wants your money, Jimmy. He don't give a shit about you."
I love your dad.
he don't give a shit about you.
That's fucking, that's great, man. That's great. We had very similar upbringings is what it sounds like. So I want to get, oh, go for
ahead.
It.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, but I've had, the reason why I've had moments in life.
Yeah.
Where they were pretty powerful and I asked for the answer and all that. And it came to light. And I, again, it's, some people say, oh, it's just coincidence and all that. I just, you can't convince me that it is.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great spot to take our first musical break. We're let's see. I don't have anything called up. Let's just go to a musical break, and we'll be right back with more from Jim Brewer on the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us, everybody.
Embrace the senile gene. Watch him reinvent the wheel. I don't need your summary acts. It's given to the narrative. And to begin, I will set you back. Oh, to begin, I will set you back.
Fun, man.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad you're having a good time. Welcome back, everyone. Joining me here is Jim Brewer, comedian and actor of SNL and Half-Baked. Or wait, what was it? Half-Baked? Was
yeah.
that the okay? I get Half-Baked and Dazed and Confused mixed up, but I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, people get that confused. Call me. Half Confused. Weren't you in that Half Confused movie, right?
So they at least they're getting half of it right, right?
Yeah, it's all good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, hey, I wanted to ask you really quick. I know we're short on time here, but I wanted to ask you, like, how did the whole SNL thing come about and what you would consider, like, your big break in your career? Like, was SNL your big break or was it something before that?
Well, I would say it had to have been SNL. Mm-hmm. SNL just put you on a hold. SNL is like, that's that tattoo in entertainment.
Oh, right.
You roll up the sleeve and like, oh, wow, I didn't know you were there. When were you there?
Yeah.
I was there in 95 to 98, the Will Ferrell years. Get out of here. So it's funny, the way it happened was we were developing, I was a, quote, hot young comedian.
Yeah.
I had some TV show development stuff all around me.
Yeah, like Home Improvement.
Right. I was on Home Improvement. I was on me and Dave Chappelle were having a show.
Yeah.
That was coming. And like a fired like 8 days before it aired, the commercials were on and all that stuff. Really funny stories with that too. We should do another podcast just on those stories. Freaking hilarious. Sitting in a restaurant after I'm fired, while the commercials are already still playing. Don't forget, this Tuesday, right after Home Improvement, it's Dave Chappelle and Jim Brewer and their buddies.
Oh, God.
Right after Home Improvement, the world premiere of Buddies, only on ABC. And we're on the cover TV guide.
Yeah.
And this chick is waiting on me and Dave in this restaurant, and she comes up. She's like, "Hi, are you guys actors?" And Dave's like, "No, man, we're comedians." And she goes, "Oh, my God, did you hear about that guy who just got fired from a sitcom? And, like, the commercials are still airing? Like, isn't that awful? And they're already casting to, like, recast him?"
Shut
like,
up.
Yeah. Oh, Dave was howling. And she's like, What? Do you know the guy?" And he's like, "If you only knew." He's like, "Oh, man, if you only knew."
Oh, my God.
Going, yeah, I'm like, "Yeah, I kind of know him. I heard of him."
Yeah, he's eating a cheeseburger right now.
Yeah, he's ordering from some ditzy chick. They asked me, NBC was trying to develop a show for me.
Right.
And they try to get me in late night development, which means you do sketches for the Tonight Show, and back then it was called Later. And they asked me to audition for SNL, and I passed. I said, "Oh, no, I don't want anything to do with that show. Everyone that goes in that show comes out miserable, hateful."
Yeah.
And it was a bad period from there. You had Jay Moore and Sarah Silverman. You had a lot of people leaving there screaming how awful the place was.
Right.
And the press was calling and saying I'm dead. And they kept asking me, and I finally auditioned. And I eventually auditioned about four times. They came to see me live. I had to meet with Lorne Michaels a couple times. I auditioned in July, and I was the last cast member hired on the new cast, which was Will Ferrell, Sherry O'Terry, Molly Shannon.
Right.
It was a powerhouse. We had a good cast. We had a really good cast.
Yeah, I mean, those are, and you know, no offense to anybody who enjoys that show, but those were like the last years that I thought that show was good. And I don't know if it's like, and you know, forgive me for saying that to people who are listening, but, and I don't know if that's like an age thing. Or, you know, a taste, you know, or something like that. But the years that you were on there and Will Ferrell and stuff, like those were the last years for me with that show.
They were pretty damn funny when Norm MacDonald would be like Burt Reynolds.
Oh my God, and dude!
Will,
yeah,
Will Ferrell was doing Alex Trebek and Daryl Hammond, and it was Maybe I've never watched SNL, especially after I was gone. I never watched it, but I know watching our cast, I think we were one of the best casts that ever existed. However, I find myself, every time I find a new guy that I freaking love, I find out, oh, he's on the current SNL cast. I'm like, love this guy. So obviously he's still pumping out great talent.
Well, maybe you should check it out.
Yeah, I it's too late for me, man. I'm dead.
You're dead inside. You got three kids. You got a wife who goes to church and she drags you to it sometimes. Yeah. You're gone, man. You're gone. There's no saving you.
That's right. The only time I get is road time. I love the road.
Do you really? Do you find like being on the road and being on tour is like your time to just do your thing by yourself?
Yes.
And that's
it's I don't like long stints of it, but like this weekend is phenomenal. I do next weekend and the weekend where I'm in Seattle.
Yeah.
With Seattle runs the longest run. I think I do Portland, Seattle, and then I do 3 days in Colorado or 4 days in Colorado. But and then I'm home. But those I get to write. I'm starting up a podcast this week.
Yeah.
And I think you'll dig my podcast. It's I've been waiting for a long time to not do a typical comedian's podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I finally came up with one. So I get to do stuff like that that I've been dying to do. So yeah, the road is pretty cool. I get to jog, I get to eat, I get to, you know, other people are like, yeah, I get to do drugs and watch dirty movies. They're like, oh, I get to jog. That's exciting. I get to stare at the sun and ask questions about my life. That's kind of cool.
A lot of self-reflection on a Jim Brewer tour.
Yeah, and I love, you know, I love being on stage. And you know what? I do take offense that the general public hasn't really discovered me as a crushing unit on stage. I crush on stage. I will challenge pretty much whoever's in the top five, top ten. I'll go toe to toe. I don't fear anyone. And I can't wait for everyone to finally discover that. And that just takes time.
I think people will, Jim. And I think you just brought this conversation full circle back to how tween boppers are this generation's wrestlers. Primetime wrestlers. So are you, let me ask you this. In closing, are you happy with where you are now?
I am. I really am. If you asked me that about 5 years ago,
yeah,
I probably would have said no.
Really?
But yeah, about 2008 is when I said, you know what, I'm doing everything my way, and I don't care. I know I got the talent. I know I got the drive. And I'm just going to steer my own ship. And since then, I've had nothing but a blast. I mean, I enjoyed doing my radio show when I was doing it.
Uh-huh.
I love the documentary I made about my father. I love it. I love my stand-up specials. I love the new one that's coming out. I love the Let's Clear the Air. I love my book that I wrote. I wrote that book without a deal. I just wrote it with passion.
Yeah.
I put every story I wanted to put in there, and then it got shopped, so it wasn't like, hey, you really should write more stories about this. I wrote the way I wanted to write it.
Yeah.
And even my website that's coming out and the shows I'm going to put on it, you know, I don't need to be a billionaire. I don't need to make big box office movies. As long as I get to do it the way I want to do it, that freedom is amazing. And I think you can understand that with a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. And this one, you know, this show is starting to make a little bit of money. You know, things are trickling in. We've got a new home studio that we're building here, and it's all coming together. So I totally get what you're saying right here.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. Like, I was in the limelight. I loved it. It still gets me reservations at restaurants. But sorry, we're booked. Okay, hold on. Man, remember that in the 90s? You know, whatever.
You do a little Pesci and doors open for you, right?
But I'll take that freedom and be able to create whatever you want to create and build your own audience.
Yeah, yeah.
That is great, man.
Hey, well, Jim, it's been a real pleasure and an honor talking with you here. And anytime you're in Seattle, man, I would love to get you in studio and do a proper sit-down conversation with you, man, because I've got a ton more questions and a ton more topics to talk with you about.
Well, we could try it when I'm there. So just keep in touch, and we'll try to do that. my email.
Oh, let's here before you do that, let's go to our next musical break, and we'll be right back. And thank you once again, Jim.
All right, man.
Thanks.
I'm just a boy with a new haircut, and that's a pretty nice haircut. Charge it like a puzzle, hit me wearing muzzles. Hesitate to die, look around, around. The second drummer drowned, this telephone is found.
Man, it's always fun to kind of revisit some of these older conversations that I have had because, you know, there's been a lot of conversations on this show. I'm getting a little emotional right now. That was, of course, our chat with Jim Brewer that took place on September 22nd, 2013. And, you know, it's crazy to talk to people that you have venerated for such a long time. Like, I mean, I was a huge fan of Jim Brewer. I always thought he was hilarious on Saturday Night Live. I loved his character on Half-Baked, because who didn't? And, you know, I mean, that was really cool. That was really cool, man, that he was open to chatting with us on the Air Raid podcast. Now, the show that he was supposed to play in Seattle, that this was prep for and publicity for, never actually happened. And which made me a little sad, man, because I really wanted to see him live and wanted to get to meet him. We were actually talking once we stopped recording, we'd actually lined up. He was actually going to come over to the house and do another episode in person. And we were going to have some dinner, and that was going to happen. Or I'd like to think it was. Maybe he canceled the show just because we had made those plans. And he was like, this guy sounds like a crazy person. What's he doing? A podcast? I don't want to go over this Fulio's house. Yeah, maybe that's what happened. Maybe it was my fault that he canceled the Seattle dates. That sucks. That's terrible. Well, I hope you guys really enjoyed it. And like we said at the beginning of this episode, we here from the Air Raid podcast, from the bottom of our hearts, hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. Whatever you celebrate, have a great time. Enjoy your time with your family and your friends. I know that sometimes it can be tough. It can be tough to spend that much time with your family. But hopefully, you know, everything goes good. I like to picture the people that listen to this show. I'm sorry, I'm like burping. It comes back to like how much I ate earlier, guys. It's just this body's a mess. This body's just an absolute mess. And it got in the way of me being really sincere. So now I apologize for that. Yeah, you know, sometimes it can be really tough hanging out with family for a long period of time. I know that me and my dad, we definitely butt heads quite a bit during the holidays because we're spending a lot of time together. And we don't get along all the time. But he's still a great guy, and I love him. And I'd like to picture, you know, the people who listen to this show that, you know, we're loving people, right? That's why you listen to this show, because you love things and you love hearing people talk and chat about their lives and you find it interesting. Or maybe you don't. Who knows? Maybe you just like love to hate this show. I get emails about that sometimes. Yeah. I hate those emails. But I like to picture all of you folks out there having a wonderful Christmas season or, you know, whatever you celebrate. I keep on trying to be PC about this, guys, but Christmas is what I celebrate, so, you know, so be it, right? Yeah. But we got a lot of great stuff coming up in the new year, folks, and I'm really excited to share it with you. I just don't want to tell you what's coming up right now, because every time I do that, I jinx it, and it never comes true. So we're not going to do that. What we are going to do is remind you that our buddy Thomas Bridgman, very funny comic from San Francisco, is going to be on this show called Tales from the Swan Hotel out December 29th, and we urge you guys to go check that out. It's it'll be available on iTunes, kind of like a noir series, kind of like a podcast play, right? Yeah. Yeah, maybe something kind of akin to, let's see, what's a good one that people really like that's along those lines. What is that? Welcome to Night Vale? Yeah. Yeah, kind of like that kind of stuff, man. Yeah, check it out. Check it out. Tales from the Swan Hotel, featuring our buddy Thomas Bridgman down there in San Francisco. And also, check out the episode of Man School that I was on, talking about my brother's disease and how we navigated a bone marrow transplant from my bones to his. And it was a painful experience, and it was a long and very, very involved process. And a lot of emotion went into that conversation. So I hope you guys enjoy that. All right, folks. Happy holidays. Be safe. Be sane. Don't eat too much. And we'll see you on the other side of that, right? Next week with more Air Raid podcast for your ears. All right. Have a great one, everybody. We love you. Thanks for listening.
Songs mean a lot when songs are bought, and so